Remember in Revelation chapter 5, that scroll is produced and everybody's falling down crying, who is worthy to take the scrolls and to loose the seals thereof? And no one was found worthy. And why was John so upset? It was the title deed of planet Earth and humankind. Who did it belong to? It's in default. That's what the seven seals had to do with. And only one person has the ability, the authority, and the platform and station to redeem defaulted humankind. The Lamb appeared. People say, well, if God is such a God of love, why is there bad things that happen in the world? Why do terrorists make their way into Paris? And why are 14 humans dead? Because planet Earth is broken, you guys. It's been under new management since the Garden of Eden. And here Lucifer is saying, it's mine to give. And you don't see Jesus arguing. By the way, will Jesus seize the authority of all of planet Earth? When? When it is the Father's correct timing. Really what's going on here, Lucifer is saying, don't go to the cross. Here's the shortcut, and you don't have to deal with the cross. How many of you are glad Jesus went to the cross? Huge implications here. Now verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Notice you have capital L-O-R-N-D. In Hebrew, Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, the voice of the burning bush, Jehovah. We shall worship Jehovah God. And who else, you guys? Nobody else. Then verse 11, the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. James chapter 4, verse 7. I'll read it to you. Therefore, says James, submit to God. Can I paraphrase? Let him do the driving. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Maybe a couple tools you can take with you today. Jesus is just like you and me. In that, everything he does is only because the Father does it through him, which is available to us. Before he began one ministry, he got baptized in water and in the Spirit. And secondly, he then battled the devil directly. In those two events, knowing the power of the fullness of God, awesome stuff, knowing for a fact that there is a devil and seeing how the devil operates, test completed. We finally arrive at this inescapable and hugely necessary principle. Ready? Not my will, Lord, but thine. It's settled. I trust God's timing with my provision. I trust God's timing with my protection, leading and guiding. And I trust God's promises to me. I became a Christian in 1980. My prayer, entrance into the kingdom, was by no means glamorous. I wasn't following the Bill Bright Four Spiritual Laws, and I didn't tune into Billy Graham. It was this, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. Not everybody has this experience, but I personally felt something go all through me. And I remember feeling like, what was that? Very soon after, I think it was the next day, I'm waiting in front of my political science class with Professor Demscher. I believe it was semi-warm outside because I remember I was in shorts and flip-flops. And I'm hanging outside waiting for my class to begin, and a couple guys come up. Hey, Steve, we've got the stuff. How many of you know what the stuff is? You can insert your own stuff wherever you like there. Party at so-and-so's house. You going to be there? And the thought out of nowhere, ding, why would I want to do that? How many of you like your stuff? I'd like to say that God so impacted my life that I chose not to go to the party, but I did. I'd like to say that when I'm standing around the circle, you guys know about the circle? All right. Kids, have your parents explain that to you, what the circle is. And here came the stuff. This warfare was in my brain. That's not what I've created you to be. You are made for more than this. Where were these thoughts coming from? I'm glad to say that I passed it on. It was my first little spiritual victory. And nobody in the whole place realized what was going on inside of here. The next year, I shipped out to a school in Southern California. And I loved being immersed in the most agile minds I had ever encountered. All of my classmates were brilliant and smart, and the professors were awesome. Man, I loved being immersed in the hallowed halls of academia. Somebody sent me a Chuck Smith tape, and he went through some of the prophecies of the Bible that had to do with Jesus' soon return. And he mentions Ezekiel 38, and instead of using Ezekiel 38's depiction of the nations there, he used their current day designations. Russia, Iran at the time. But I remember that tape flips off, and I'm sitting there in the thundering silence. A very strong impression touched my quiet heart. Do you want to be raptured out of a classroom? And number two, my children are dying for lack of knowledge. Won't you tell them? And I thought to myself, yes. The next day I flipped through the phone book and I find a church. I went to their church. They taught verse by verse through the scriptures. They had a beautiful worship time that I had never experienced. Some of them were raising their hands. What are they doing? Some were slipping out of their rows very quietly, moving up to the front and kneeling before the Lord. What's going on? The pastor, Ken Gullickson, down there said, if you're more interested in learning how awesome God's manifested presence may be, we invite you to come to this meeting that he described, but really, really is for believers in Jesus Christ. Well, I got on my bike, my Volkscycle 10-speed, and I pedaled from Westwood past Century City on Wilshire Boulevard, where you take your life in your hands if you're a bicycle rider. I pedaled all the way down there, and I will never, ever forget what I saw. There was probably, maybe 100 or so people in the small gathering. A guy comes up and he says, okay, we're going to ask God to move through his Holy Spirit. And here's how he does it. And he got his Bible out. He went through 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and a little bit of Ephesians 4. That when God shows up, it will always be according to the fruit of the Spirit. There'll be love and joy and peace and self-control. Nobody's going to do something freaky. Me as the uninitiated, I'm all, well, I'm glad for that. Then he got done and he sat down and there was kind of a quiet. Another guy gets up to the microphone. He stands there like this. He doesn't have a Bible or anything in his hand. I'm going, what's he going to do? He said, there's a woman here who's been to the doctor. And he began to describe her particular ailment and the process and the doctors that she went through. And a lady stood up over there somewhere. And I went, okay. And the people next to her just laid hands and prayed. There's a man with a heart condition. And then he went on to describe about his medical journey. And a guy over here on this side stood up and people began to lay hands on him. And then I elbowed the guy next to me and I said, that's amazing that he knows all these people's ailments and what's going on in their life. The Lord had seen to it that I was sitting next to a man of God. He looked at me and discerned quickly, you're not from around here, are you? He didn't say any of that. He just looked at me with a smile and he said, the man in the microphone doesn't know any of these people. I'm all, no way! Well, how does he know what's going on with them? Because it's the presence of the Lord moving through a gift called knowledge. because God wants to move mightily. I won't go through all the events of that evening, but I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of things I don't know, loved one, but there's a couple things I know for stone cold fact. That God loves His people. And God is present and alive and vital and will speak and will move. If He's allowed, if it's done decently and in order, on a bicycle on the way back from Century City, I rolled into my room, I slipped the book bag off of my shoulder and I got to my knees and I said, God, I have seen You. Lord, take all of me. My life changed after that. I know about the baptism, the fullness of the Spirit. Here's another thing I know for sure. After I moved to Reno, I would say probably within a year, we were ministering in a certain portion of town that some folks were coming to our church. Let's just say that they weren't your typical church-going people. And there was one lady who had some particular problems and challenges. And one night we began to pray, and suddenly she began to speak in an octave that was really not available to a woman. In other words, how is she getting that low baritone Barry White thing going? Cursing and swearing and spitting. And then the pastor who said, in the name of Jesus, be still. Vroom. She sat. Through the course of the next probably 2 hours, we ministered. And the things that I heard and the things that I saw. There's a lot of things I don't know about you guys. But there's two things I know absolutely. God moves in His Spirit. And secondly, there is a devil. Why is Harvest who we are? Because of two things that I know for a fact. That God moves wonderfully, fully, completely to anyone who yields his heart, her heart. And secondly, there is a devil, a very real devil. And I'd like Nicole, my wife, to take a few minutes. If you've never heard this stuff before, I get it if you're a little nervous. But it is real. Honey?
My name is Nicole. I'm Steve's wife. And first of all, to make very clear, we're not talking about these things because you should go looking for demonic interaction. You don't go looking for the enemy. You don't mess with the occult. God's word is very clear. You do not interact with that. Don't go to psychics. Don't look up your horoscope. And He tells us have nothing to do with it. We are not to go looking for that stuff. The thing is that when you are healed and grounded and you get the tools of God's word and you start fasting and praying, being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the fruit, the enemy comes looking for you. Part of what Harvest was started for is to teach you these tools. So really quick, I am a small town of 900 people, is where I was from. I was molested when I was a little kid. I was suicidal by the time I was 4. And I remember getting ready to jump out the window of our two-story and watching the trees blow. And that's the first time I heard the voice of the Lord, and He said, don't do it. As Steve said, I just felt that completely, and I knew it was Him, so I didn't. My dad was also dealing with heart issues. He'd had 3 open heart surgeries, a pacemaker, an artificial valve. So my mom and dad are incredible, wonderful people. He's not the person that molested me. He was amazing and gave me much of the wonderful things that grounded me, but he also had a drinking problem and a drug problem to deal with the physical pain he was in. It was the Jekyll Hyde thing that many of you know when you have an alcoholic parent. And so one time he showed up when I was 17 to a softball practice, falling down drunk, walked out to the pitcher's mound, took the ball from her and started pitching to her and said, let me tell you and show you how you pitch. I was mortified. I thought I was going to die. Watching my dad tripping and falling, it was like a really bad after school special. So that day, he went back to the bar on the way home. I was 17. I didn't know I was depressed, but I know now I was. I tried to kill myself that night. So I got in the car and put the windows down, opened the sunroof, and I was just going to keep driving. and about 100 miles an hour on the gravel roads in Iowa, and no seatbelt, and a deer ran out in front of me. So I slammed on the brakes and just shot, catapulted into the air, end over end, just totaled the car, crushed. But I landed in the grass sitting Indian style with crickets and creatures, and I thought, wow, I can't even kill myself. I can't do anything right. And I sat there and looked up, and my gear shift was above me, and then it hit me. Oh, God saved me, because I'd been saved when I was 9. Greg Brown and Tammy Brown, Sunday school teachers. I had gone with a friend to the Methodist church, and he was talking about Bible prophecy. He was talking about Israel. He was talking about Russia. He was talking about the rapture. And like Steve, I thought in that moment, oh, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be with you. I want to be raptured. That's why Steve and I are so passionate about Bible prophecy, because it changed who we are, because Jesus is coming back. So we will teach that here at Harvest. But that's just to say, I knew when I survived rolling my car that that was the Lord. That was settled for me in that moment. But I didn't have the tools. I didn't have a good church. I didn't have God's word. And I went to college to become a psych major. I was a fixer. I didn't know at the time that was a role. It was a codependent coping skill that I held on to with every fiber of my being. I thought that was my calling. I thought that was the Lord. So I was a psych major, but not having tools, I was in really unhealthy relationships. I was in a violent relationship. He tried to strangle me. In that moment, his voice changed, his eyes changed, and I recognized it was demonic. And I just cried out to Jesus, okay, Lord, if you want me to live through this, you're going to have to do something. His eyes changed, and he let go. I met Steve. We started going to church. He had something I didn't have. He had knowledge of God's word. So when we were dating and we started going to church, I started learning about the tools and God's principles, the foundations, the things that you need to know to counteract the codependent things or the false things that are not of God. Once we got married, both of us got grounded. We got healed. We started teaching God's word, God's principles, and then we started fasting and praying. We were baptized together, and both of our lives changed significantly. We started fasting and praying for a dear friend of ours that was in a home fellowship. And I went to a grocery store one day. And as I was shopping for cards, I heard a familiar sound that I'd heard twice in my life before. I heard a strange, shrieking tone in a voice. And a woman next to me said, "Stop judging me. I paid for these." And I looked at her and said, "That's okay. I don't work here. I trust you. I'm just shopping." And then her eyes changed, and then she literally started drooling and swearing. I'd never heard the language that I've heard coming out of this tiny little 5-foot woman who just started screaming at me, "You can't have him. He belongs to us." And she meant the person we were praying and fasting for in our home fellowship. She knew his name. "Bob belongs to us, and you cannot have him." And I went, wow, that was something I'd never physically saw face to face. And the whole store started coming over because she was screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth and literally almost like physical pain. "He belongs to us. You cannot have him." And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know at the time I could say in the name of Jesus, "Sit down," or "Be still," or "Be quiet." I just stood there and I'm all, "Security." And so someone ran and got security. And she had 4 bag boys that she was flinging left to right into displays, and soup cans were flying, while she looked me in the eye and said, "We will kill you. We will destroy you. Your church," which had a lot of adjectives, "and your effing God who judges. All you do is judge." But the slander of this enemy coming out about judgment of God, my God, and Jesus Christ in our church. She never touched me. She was flinging these poor young guys around left and right. But God and the Holy Spirit that was in me protected me physically, She couldn't even touch me. And they picked her up and took her 30 minutes to get this woman out of the store. They thought she was on drugs. But I went home and told Steve about it. She knows our name. She knows who we're fasting for. She said, these voices say he belongs to us and you cannot have him. We have seen the enemy. We know the enemy is real. We know that your fasting and prayers are real. We know that when you die to self and give up your suitcase, that you are sure that your interests or your passions are what God has for you. If you're willing to die to that and be empty and open, the Lord can really use that. And now we know at harvest, the enemy will come looking for you, but don't be scared about that. Because with God's word, you have the power. But that's why we do what we do here.
Let's all stand together. Thank you. You've been very patient. We don't usually go this long, but let's give God a hand for what he's done. Oh, would you join me in prayer as we close our time together? Lord Jesus, testimonies are powerful. Because truth be known, I know that I walked for a significant period of my life, Lord, with an academic understanding of the Bible, of Jesus Christ, and my walk with him. Today we saw, Lord, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, that before Jesus began his ministry, he settled two issues. He's got to be filled with the Spirit and all that that means. He's got to give the steering wheel of his ministry and everything he is and everything he does to the Lord. Secondly, when you do that, the enemy comes running. He doesn't mind people going to church. I don't think he particularly minds people even praying. But when people pray God's word and people are moving in the amazing spiritual discipline of fasting and prayer, he says that's got to be stopped. And I thank you, Lord, that both Nicole and myself, before you ever called us to harvest, you settled those issues. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. Number two, there is a real battle and it's not with other humans. Like Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your example, Jesus, of being filled with the Spirit and encountering a direct demonic attack with a real enemy that really exists. For me, Lord, you showed me that before we ever got started, and I thank you. And now for the rest of us here, Lord God, I just pray that all of us understand, Lord, have I truly given my whole life to you? Have I given you the steering wheel? And then number two, Lord, have I not been understanding of the spiritual dynamic and battle around me? And Lord, would you please make me more learned? Not that we're chasing the devil, but that we're understanding when we move in your spirit, Lord, the enemy will try to hinder that. Is it depression? Is it stuff goes wrong? Is it my bank account gets hammered? Is it my relationships are going through trials? That's the enemy trying to do what he does to get us off the track. In Jesus' name, may Harvest Family Fellowship, Lord, always be people that are people of the book, filled with the Spirit, and know how to handle your word in strength and power and direction. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.